Do you enjoy walking through a cemetery? I know some avoid cemeteries thinking they're creepy. Others are attracted to them for the same reason. Others search for family history by reading old tombstones, and others honor the memories of loved ones that are buried there. And there are still others that just like to stroll through reading about people they never knew, but finding interest all the same. If you were to read through the first 9 chapters of the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, it's a lot like walking through a cemetery. Lots of names of people we're not familiar with. We can barely pronounce a lot of them. We're not given really much of any kind of a context. They're just names. Lots and lots of names. If you'll turn to the 4th chapter, this is about halfway through what I call God's white pages. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, I'd like to begin in verse 6. Nerah bore him Azuzam, Hefer, Temeni, and Haashatari. These were the descendants of Nearah. The sons of Helah, Zereth, Zohar, Ethnan, and Kaz, who was the father of Anub and Hazabibah, and of the clans of Aharel, son of Haram. Oh boy, that gets your motor running, doesn't it? There's 3 more chapters of this. What do we do with that? It's over 600 names at the beginning of 1 Chronicles. And I know what you're all thinking, because I'm thinking the same thing. Do we really need to know this? Is there going to be a test on this someday? Good news is, no, there's not. And I won't get into all the reasons why God includes genealogies in the Bible. That's for another message. But right in the midst of all of those unpronounceable names appears 2 little verses about one individual that we can learn from. Verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Now, my guess is Jabez would probably still be rather unknown to most Christians if it weren't for a little book written by Bruce Wilkinson back in the year 2000, The Prayer of Jabez. It sold a record 8 million copies the very first year it was published. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for 94 weeks. It's almost 2 full years. And that's not just the Christian best-selling book. That's the New York Times best-selling list. All kinds of people were flocking to this little book about this little-known guy from the middle of God's graveyard. Why was there such an interest in this one person? Wilkinson himself refers to Jabez as the prodigy of the genealogy and the Bible's little big man. But most importantly, Jabez is known to history preeminently as a man of prayer. And for the next few Sunday evenings, I would like to challenge us to be praying like Jabez. Now, right from the outset, I'd like to give 2 disclaimers. First of all, this is not merely a recitation of Wilkinson's book. In this series, I am using 32 different resources. This is one of them, but it's not the only one. And second, many have criticized both Wilkinson and his book as being part of the prosperity gospel in order to get rich. And I have no doubt that there were some people, particularly unbelievers, who were drawn to this book because that's how they viewed it. That was not the reason Wilkinson wrote it. And if you really read the book, that's not what's there. So this isn't a get-rich-quick scheme. This is not some name-it-claim-it, get-from-God-all-that-you-can kind of an idea. As we saw this morning, that's not what prayer is to begin with. That's not what this is about. So I want to be very clear about that. Looking at Jabez's prayer, I see three basic components from which we can learn. Praying for God's provision. That's our message tonight. Next week, we're going to look at praying for God's presence. And then finally, praying for God's protection. So this evening, as we begin, I want to look at praying for God's provision. Now, in order to really appreciate how Jabez prayed and what went into this prayer, we need to first consider Jabez's painful background. Verse 9 says, his mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, the name Jabez itself in Hebrew is not a word for pain. It's actually the letters of the Hebrew word for pain put in a different order. So it's a play on words, but it's not the exact word for pain. It would be kind of like if somebody didn't like cottage cheese, okay, that's made out of milk curd, and they said, I'd rather not eat milk crud, thank you, by switching two letters. That's kind of the idea here. Jabez's mother switched the order of the letters of the Hebrew word for pain and came up with Jabez, but she made it very clear the reason she named him that was because she was in a lot of pain when he was born. I can imagine that as Jabez grew and he got a little bit older, his mother might have said to him, you've been a pain to me ever since you were born. Right? And that's his name. And understand it, in the ancient world, boy, the name you got tagged with, you carried with you, and it was a big deal. The meaning of your name carried a lot of weight back then. Not so much now. We name our children things just, you know, either because it was a family name or we like how it sounds. How many of you actually know what the word means that is your first name? I do. It means from Scotland. No, I'm not. So that's it, you know. A lot of our names are not necessarily meaningful, nor do they reveal anything about our character. But in the ancient world, they did, or at least they thought they did. And for someone to be tagged with a name like Jabez meant you were a born loser. You were behind the eight ball before you did or said anything. You are already looking up from the ground. It's kind of like that Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue. Remember that one? Yeah? How would you like to grow up the boy named Sue? You know, you're always going to get picked on and beat up and everything else. And that's the deal here with Jabez. We don't know why his mother did this. There may have been conditions surrounding his birth that were particularly painful. Maybe the delivery was traumatic. You know, maybe his head was that big around. I don't know. Maybe he was born breech, which back then would have been a bigger problem than today. Or maybe the mother's pain was emotional. You know, maybe the child's father had abandoned her during the pregnancy, and now she was faced with raising this child on her own. Or maybe he was illegitimate, and that caused pain on the mother and on the family. We really don't know. It could have been any of those things. But we do know that Jabez was stuck with literally a painful name. And from the very beginning, he was kind of behind the eight ball. So with that background, we can better understand Jabez's prayerful beginning. In verse 10, we read, "Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I may be free from pain.'" Now, before we get into the details of the prayer itself, I think it's worth noting Jabez is the first person in the book of Chronicles to call out on the name of the God of Israel. I'm not saying he was the only one that did. I'm just saying he's the first one mentioned. And again, we don't know a lot about his background, but despite his painful beginning, he looked to God. He was not going to do this by himself. He didn't decide, "I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm going to prove to the world that I'm worth something." He went to God. He didn't want to live up or down to his name, depending on how you want to look at it. But the fact that he turned to God and depended on God was the key that unlocked Jabez's life, and that's the same as true for us. We need to go to the source. We need to call out on the name of the Lord. Now, the NIV doesn't include it, and I'm not sure why, but in the original Hebrew, there is another word in the first phrase, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Some of your Bible translations will include that, and that is correct. That is in the original text. And in Hebrew, adding that word was like adding 5 exclamation points or underlining it, circling it, putting it in boldface, however you want to highlight it. That made it all the more emphasized. Jabez was not merely asking God for enough to squeak by, he was asking for God's abundance. And I know that might not sit well with you. I'm asking you, just hold on. It sounds very selfish. It sounds a bit greedy. I don't believe it was, based on what the Scripture says here. Jabez had great ambition. While his brothers and his friends were content with being average, maybe even mediocre, Jabez said, "I want God to bless me. I want something big. I want my life to be significant." He didn't want to be ordinary. He didn't want to be common. He wanted to expand and grow. And he said, "God, bless me indeed." He had a great ambition. And most deeply of all, he wanted God's blessing on his life. Many people today just drift through life. They really don't have any drive. They don't have any ambition. You go up to some people and say, "What are you looking forward to today?" And they'll probably say, "Lunch," right? You know, no real direction. It's just kind of, "Well, whatever comes, I'll deal with it." And yeah, they're drifting. They are just at the fate of the winds of life. You know, just wherever that's going to carry them, that's where they end up going. They have no goals. They have no master plan, no overall purpose. They just exist. I don't know if that's what God's really called us to do. I believe we need to have great ambition ourselves. We need to have a dream. We don't have a dream, we're drifting. When we stop setting goals, we stop growing. Because if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time, right? As long as our horizon is expanding, we will be emotionally healthy human beings. God made us to grow. He didn't make us to stagnate. He didn't make us to plateau and level off and just settle. He wants us to continue to grow and to stretch and to develop. God has a purpose for our life. There is a plan. And you say, well, there's no way I can know that. But if you know that He has one, you'll at least get moving. Because once you're moving, it's a lot easier for God to steer you. You ever tried to steer a parked car? That's kind of tough. But you get one moving, and it's a lot easier to direct. A life with no challenges and no goals can be summed up in one word: boring. So we need to have a great ambition ourselves. We also need a growing faith. Jabez had that growing faith. He had a deep trust and belief in God. He had enough faith to pray and to expect an answer. He was like William Carey, who said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." When I was growing up, my dad had a lot of different favorite preachers he liked to listen to on the radio, and one of them was a good old boy from the South named Vance Havner. I don't know if any of you heard him before, but he just kind of had a way of saying things, and he was a delight. He wrote this for young preachers, but I really think this is something that applies to all of us. He says, "If I were giving advice to any young preacher, or to any Christian for that matter, I would say, don't expect too much and don't expect too little." Don't expect too much. Indeed, if we are to attempt great things for God, expecting great things from God, but not everything we want or ask for is God's best for us. Our praying must be in line with the four accordings: according to His word, according to His will, according to our need, and according to our faith. We can expect too much from God by looking at things that are not in line with the first three of these expectations. Then by all means, don't expect too much from people, even Christians. Yeah, I can amen to that one. But I hasten to add, don't expect too little. The minister is in serious danger of becoming cynical or at least complacent. He may decide to accept things as they are and people as they are, grow resigned to the situation, and never really look for miracles in the ministry. Sunday after Sunday goes by in a monotonous routine, and he treads a dreary, vicious circle. Now, he may perfunctorily pray for rain, but he doesn't carry his umbrella. He's not really looking for anything to happen, and of course it doesn't. Our God is too small these days. These wretched times have played havoc with many a man's expectations. It looks like the devil has taken the field and too many are ready to concede victory. To hear or read some of the things churchmen are saying about the church today, one can easily see that they've thrown in the towel. Faith is not believing that God can do wonders, it is believing He will. Jabez prayed that God would enlarge his coast. I don't know just what Jabez wanted, but it pleased God to grant it. We are certainly living on a narrow coastline these days, and the horizon of our expectation needs to be lifted until it takes in the whole country and not just our little county. We need to see the fair king in the far country through soul binoculars take in both what is close at hand and what is far distant. Square your expectations with God's accordings. Look for the miraculous and do not settle for the monotonous and the mediocre. For He has said, "Call unto Me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." I think that's good advice. I do believe we can expect too much. In fact, those of you that know me know I kind of live on low expectations when it comes to people, including myself. But when it comes to God, when it comes to God's word and God's promises, when it comes to God's plan, His will for our lives, we can expect great things because we serve a great God. Doesn't mean we're great, means He is. And He wants to do great things here on earth, but He's only going to do them through His people. And if we're not aware and we're not willing to be used to be great by God, it's not that we're tying God's hands because we can't do that. He'll just find somebody else. So I think that it's good to think large, to dream big, knowing that God can and will work through willing vessels. And then we also need to have a genuine prayer life. It's this simple request that Jabez prayed that got him an honorable mention in the Bible. We're still talking about him thousands of years later. None of those other guys whose name I couldn't pronounce are we talking about, but Jabez is still pretty well known. Look at that prayer once again. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Now again, that kind of smacks of, you know, raw ambition, a prayer of, you know, health and wealth, name it, claim it, and all that stuff. If we stop at enlarge my territory and fail to dig deeper into the full meaning, we might reduce prayer to a gimme list, and that's not what prayer is. Please understand, ambition in the right context is not wrong. Praying for wealth for the sake to get rich is not what the Lord desires. And that's not what Jabez is asking for. His was an honorable ambition. See, there's more to his request than just more real estate. He wanted more influence. He wanted more responsibility. He wanted to make a mark for the God of Israel. God, make my life count. That's a good prayer to have. Not necessarily, God, make my life easy. Make my life count. Do something through me that when other people see it, they say, that's got to be God, because it certainly wasn't him or her. That's the kind of ambition that I believe God wants to see. See, we're not just asking God for more of what we can do for ourselves. We're asking for God to do what we can't do ourselves. And to do it in such a way that He gets the glory. This kind of richness is what the writer was referring to in Proverbs 10:22. The Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All our work adds nothing to it. So when we're saying, Lord, bless me, it's not necessarily give me a bigger bank account or a nicer car or a bigger house. Lord, bless me in a way that you can use me to make an impact in this world. Help me make a difference in somebody's life. Like the hymn says, make me a blessing to someone today. You know, that's not that far from what Jabez prayed. I've never heard anybody complain that make me a blessing is a name it, claim it kind of song. But that's really what Jabez is saying. Lord, make me a blessing. Enlarge my territory. Let me impact more people for you. And it's interesting that Jabez's request was open-ended rather than specific. He's not trying to make a deal with God. You know, oh God, I'll do this and this if you'll give me that. He isn't doing that. He doesn't specifically ask for a certain type of blessing. He's just saying, God, you bless me with what you want to give me. Whatever blessing that is, I'll take it. That's really faith. That's throwing ourselves onto the mercy of God and just saying, Lord, what's in your best interest is what I want for my life. Jabez brought an empty cup and asked God to fill it as he saw fit. Let God decide what to fill your cup with and how high to fill it. We don't have to come with a big grocery list and say this, 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 and this. Just say, God, you bless me in such a way that I can be a blessing. And let him decide what that looks like. Whatever our gifts and education or vocation might be, our calling is to do God's work on earth. If we want, we can call it living out our faith for others, or we can call it ministry. We can call it every Christian's day job. Well, whatever we call it, God is looking for people to do more of it. Because sadly, most believers seem to shrink from living at this level of influence. We'd rather be nobody. And God wants us to be somebody for him, to have a life that makes a difference. Finally, we see Jabez's prosperous blessing. Verse 10 ends with the words, and God granted his request. This is how I know his prayer was on the right track. The beginning of verse 9 says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. If he was just being greedy and selfish, those words would never have been printed. God would never have answered that prayer. The fact that Jabez received this prosperous blessing is a sign that God was pleased with his prayer. As C.H. Spurgeon noted, his devotion was the key to his promotion. I like that. His devotion was the key to his promotion. And again, let me be clear. The prayer of Jabez is not a blueprint for wealth and riches and popularity and prosperity and all that stuff. That's not what it's about. It's about being who God can use. Being the kind of person that's going to make a difference for God and for his glory. We got to be careful that we are not the spiritual equivalent to the Dead Sea. I don't know if you're familiar with the Dead Sea over by Israel. Nothing lives in it. And the reason why it is dead is because it has water coming into it, but there is no water going out. It sits, it stagnates, and everything in it dies. And we can become like that if we take in and take in and take in God's blessings and we never let them go through us. If God is blessing us and we're not blessing anybody else, we're going to become stagnant. And might I add, the Dead Sea stinks. And so will we. Don't be like the Dead Sea. God sends blessings to us to bless others through us. We are to be a conduit of his blessing, not just a reservoir. And God saw that in Jabez's prayer, otherwise he would not have answered it. This is not selfish. This is not materialistic. But too often, we settle for too little. We dream too small. We fail to understand what God can do. Here we see Jabez would not settle for anything less than God's best. And he was blessed simply because he refused to let any obstacle, any person, any opinion loom larger than God's nature, because it is God's nature to bless. Jabez had a painful beginning. He could have allowed his past to dictate his present and future, but he didn't. I like how Rick Warren put it. We are products of our past, but we are not prisoners of it. God's purpose is not limited by your past. He turned a murderer named Moses into a leader, a coward named Gideon into a courageous hero, and he can do amazing things with the rest of your life too. God specializes in giving people a fresh start. So wherever you are, you might think it's too late for me. No, it's not. God can begin today and do something amazing in your life if you believe he can and if you're open to what he wants for you. A small struggling start does not necessitate a limited life. If you're not careful, the adversary will convince you that because of your struggling start or your limited past, your future can never be anything more. The enemy of your soul is trying to convince you to live there from now on, but don't do it. Remember Jabez, the unknown who began his life in sorrow, but God gave him a place of honor because he dared to pray boldly with devotion to God. The Lord granted Jabez's request. Why wouldn't he answer ours? If we come to him in pure motives, asking God's best so that we can be our best for him, I believe he will do that. Now, the beauty and the drawback of a story like Jabez is they offer a vivid picture of what God can do and has done, but that doesn't mean he's always going to do it the same for everybody. It implies no promise that God will answer us in the same way that he did for Jabez if we pray like that, but it can inspire us to take risks in prayer. If we ask, we may or may not get what we want. Prayer is not an ATM machine. But if we don't ask, we can't complain if we don't get. In fact, James says that in James 4:2, you don't have because you don't ask God. But then in the very next verse, he adds, and when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So we got to be careful that our motives are right. Because God sees the heart, and he knows that if we're just being greedy, he's going to say no. And finally, when God blesses and prospers a life, there is no place for guilt. Don't ever apologize for the blessings God has given you. That's a sign of his approval of your prayers and of your life. Use it correctly. When God blesses you, see how you can bless others with it. But don't ever apologize for the fact that God has blessed your life. Because with greater blessings also comes greater responsibilities. Allow God to work through you the way he wants to. Life has enough sorrow without attaching guilt to the good things God gives us. If you happen to be someone that God chooses to use in a mighty way, and that includes the blessings of material abundance, gratefully accept it. Say thank you, and then say, how can I bless somebody with what God has given to me? Determine that to use all that he gives for his purposes. Give generously for the advancement of his kingdom. Enjoy God's goodness to the fullest. The prayer of Jabez is not a magic formula yielding riches to the one repeating it. Praying like Jabez asks God to do his best for us, to do his best through us. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we have so much to learn about the simple practice of prayer. It's a great privilege that you have given to us that we can approach you in order to communicate with you, to have communion with you, to express our love and our loyalty to you, and yes, to ask you to meet our needs. I pray that we might learn from Jabez's example and that praying like Jabez will not just make us rich or famous, but will enable us to bless many others and to really live a life that matters, a life that makes an impact on our world. I do believe that's the ambition that you will honor. May we be ambitious in the right way so that you can use us in every way. This we pray in the name of our victorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.